Well, with an eye to exactly that kind of creeping authoritarianism that has characterised Cambodia in recent years, one of the region's most senior statesmen has issued a stern call to the leaders of Southeast Asia. The organisation designed to bring Southeast Asia together, ASEAN, has long been criticised for not doing enough to confront the divisions which threaten the Asia-Pacific. Well, now, Indonesia's former Foreign Affairs Minister, Dr. Marty Natalegawa, is saying that the body needs to play a more active role in addressing these concerns. He's just written a book on the future of ASEAN titled Does ASEAN Matter? When I caught up with him recently, Dr. Natalegawa told me the regional forum is at risk of failing to matter.
Certainly, the proposition I've made in the book is that ASEAN has mattered in the past. It has mattered in changing the dynamics of relationship between Southeast Asian countries. It has mattered in bringing peace to the wider region, and it has mattered in promoting prosperity among its peoples. And hence, the main hurdle will be a sense of inertia, a sense of complacency. If there is a sense that what had transpired in the past is good enough for the future, then I think we may risk making ASEAN less relevant than in the past.
Is it a mistake to see ASEAN as a vehicle for democracy and human rights? Because the emphasis looking back at what would be considered its successes is really on business and trade and commerce, isn't it?
The democratic architecture in Southeast Asia has been going through changes. But if you have a broader perspective in Southeast Asia, through ASEAN in particular, we have been able to manage and see the promotion of democratic change of a quite fundamental transformative nature in Indonesia, for instance, in the Philippines until quite recent developments that are at least peaceful in nature, the way it has transpired in contrast to, say, in North Africa, the so-called Arab Spring that had begun with so much optimism and yet now are in such a dire state.
Let's stick with those internal questions. Mm. How should ASEAN, in order to stay relevant, to matter, deal with questions like Cambodia? This weekend, an election will reaffirm, yes, Hun Sen's leadership. It's hardly democratic. The Philippines, as you mentioned, has been backsliding. Yes. Thailand, yes. I could go on. I mean, how, yes, does ASEAN address those questions?
This is what I find rather troubling, and it's a little bit of a shame, because up till recently, ASEAN actually has begun to, in a very subtle and nuanced way, manage to strike a good equilibrium between, on one hand, respecting principle of non-intervention, but at the same time, having sufficient space and room to demonstrate mutual concern and interest in one another's internal affairs, because it has obviously regional implications. But in recent years, I'm afraid that we have begun to get a sense of regression where these two issues are taken to be polar opposites, as if we can be, on the one hand, respectful of human rights and at the same time respectful of non-intervention. And I think this is a craft and a capacity that ASEAN is beginning to lose over the recent years. And therefore, we have this like a straitjacket assumption, as if you can either be fully interventionist or you must be totally hands off. When there is actually a third way, which we have been actually promoting in the past until recently.
And what about the elephant in the room, I suppose we could call it, which is China? It's invigorating its ties around the region. That has pluses and minuses. But ASEAN last year managed to issue a communique that didn't mention the South China Sea. What good is ASEAN if it can't help defend open trade, yes, in its own waters?
ASEAN, over its existence, has had to deal with complex dynamics in terms of major power rivalries, whether it was the original Soviet Union, United States, or United States and China now. But now I think we are a little bit challenged in that we are not able to demonstrate that agility, as if, you know, to survive, you just have to keep quiet and to be silent. And this is what worries me, because the silence is somewhat deafening, and it doesn't do well in terms of ASEAN's reputation and standing if it's not able to actually speak up when certain principles are being violated. So this is where ASEAN, I think, must have the courage to actually speak up collectively.
You point out in the book, and we're all very aware, the world is changing. There are a lot of new challenges suddenly in our midst. You're agreeing that ASEAN has its own set of challenges. It's not a very optimistic prospect for the organisation, is it?
Well, you know, I mean, in the past, ASEAN has had a transformative outlook. We were shaping and molding and having a rather more transformative in outlook. But now what worries me is that whilst the pace of change are becoming far more rapid and far more fundamental, at the same time, there is a sense of drift in ASEAN. We are not really recognizing that we are going to such a pace of change of profound nature that more of the same will not be good enough.
What if this fails, Martin Adeligawa? What if ASEAN fractures and Southeast Asia no longer has this binding glue of an organization?
It's a prospect I dread, because if ASEAN was to be divided in the future, it means we will be back to where we were before, a Southeast Asia that's divided by divisions between the countries of the region and then exacerbated by major power interests, Southeast Asia that has serious economic challenges and difficulties. So the stake is far too great to allow this situation to develop. And hence, it's not really an option to see ASEAN be divided. And I believe that current crop of ASEAN leaders must have a responsibility.
Martin Adeligawa, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Indonesia's former Foreign Affairs Minister, Dr. Martin Adeligawa.